Einen wunderschönen guten Morgen, ihr hört Insert Moin, ich bin der Micha und heute Morgen bin ich mal alleine unterwegs und da sind wir wieder nach der Gamescom. Endlich ist die Messe vorbei. Nach 7 Tagen hat man da ehrlich gesagt auch erstmal keine Lust mehr. Dann kann man ruhig auch erstmal ein bisschen Pause haben. Und trotzdem ist aber noch so viel Material übrig, dass wir jetzt locker noch 2 Folgen zu Gamescom machen können. Und zwar haben wir auf der Messe verschiedene Indies gesprochen. Da waren natürlich viele Stände, die auch weniger besucht waren. Zum Beispiel vor der DevCom gab es eine ganze Halle, wo Indies rumstanden. Und es gab aber auch in den Länderpavillons zum Beispiel ganz viele kleine Entwickler, die jetzt nicht so einen mega Werbeetat haben und hoffen, dass da einfach jemand vorbeiläuft, der sich irgendwie für dieses Spiel interessiert oder der sich vielleicht vom Banner catchen lässt oder so. Das ist eigentlich jedes Jahr dasselbe Bild. Also man läuft da dran vorbei und fragt sich, wo sind denn die ganzen Journalisten, die da über diese Spiele berichten, weil da einfach sehr viele Sachen auch sind, von denen hat man noch nie irgendwie was gehört und dann schaut man genauer hin und dann sind das auch ganz, ganz, ganz coole Spiele eigentlich. Und stattdessen sind die großen, naja, ich sag mal, werbeträchtigen Spiele, so dieser ganze AAA-Scheiß, der ist mal so richtig gut besucht. Das ist leider immer sehr traurig auf der Gamescom, das zu sehen, aber dafür gibt's ja Insert Moin. Dafür sind wir da. Wir haben uns gedacht, wir mischen zu den ganzen großen Super-Über-Themen natürlich auch mal wie die letzten beiden Jahre auch viele kleine Indies mit rein, die vielleicht mehr Aufmerksamkeit verdient hätten. Und ich möchte gleich mal den Anfang machen mit einem Spiel, das heißt Onto the End. Onto the End ist ein, ja, 2D, ja, Plattformer kann man nicht sagen, weil so viel Plattform ist nicht drin, aber man 2D, ja, Plattform, Brawling, Kampfspiel, das in so einem Wikinger-Setting spielt. Also es hat so leicht die Ästhetik von Inside oder Limbo, also alles so reduzierte Farben, alles grau, alles irgendwie in so einer Schneelandschaft. Ich kenne doch diesen einen Film mit Leonardo DiCaprio, The Revenant. Vielleicht habt ihr den gesehen, wo auch die meiste Zeit einfach alles irgendwie stumm ist, wo nicht gesprochen wird und es geht um das nackte Überleben. Und so ungefähr kann man sich die Stimmung von diesem Spiel vorstellen. Also es geht echt so in diese Richtung, alles sehr minimalistisch. Und es hat ein ziemlich cooles Kampfsystem. Also diese, das läuft so, dass das ganze Kampfsystem ist halt so auf so einer 2D. Plane, also man hat vorne, hinten, rechts, oben und so weiter, also benutzen diesen Raum, es gibt jetzt keine Tiefe, man kann jetzt nicht weiter in den Hintergrund oder weiter in den Vordergrund laufen und das Kampfsystem hat so ein Blocksystem, heißt also man kann oben und unten blocken und auch frontal blocken und man kann auch so Sachen machen wie zum Beispiel einen Dolch werfen als Überraschungsangriff und so weiter und es gibt verschiedene Schlagmöglichkeiten und das klingt jetzt erstmal so nach, oh, okay, Standard. Cool ist aber, dass man sehr, sehr schnell sterben kann, also man sagt sehr viel, weiß nicht, 2, 3 Schläge sagt man wirklich dann Schaden ein und man muss ganz genau hingucken, was die Gegner gerade machen. Also wenn zum Beispiel da jetzt ein hoher Angriff läuft, dann schlägt man natürlich entweder nach unten, wenn man schnell genug ist, wenn man eine schnell genug Waffe hat, oder man blockt halt diese Stelle natürlich entsprechend ab. Und das ist ziemlich cool gelöst, weil es wirklich auf den einzelnen Schlag ankommt. Also ihr könnt nicht einfach so drauf loszeichnen und Brawler-mäßig einfach draufhauen, sondern ihr müsst euch wirklich ganz genau überlegen, jetzt oder nie. Also die richtige Gelegenheit nutzen. Und da sind wir so ein bisschen auch in so ein Territorium, was vielleicht so in Richtung Dark Souls geht, wo es ja auch so auf jeden einzelnen Schlag ankommt, wo man nicht einfach so drauf losschlagen kann. Das ist so das Erste, was mir sehr gut sehr positiv aufgefallen ist. Und das Zweite ist die Stimmung. Alter, die Stimmung ist mega, mega geil. Jetzt habe ich schon The Revenant als Beispiel in den Raum geworfen und ich lasse euch jetzt hier mal so ein bisschen die Audiospur von dem Trailer mitlaufen, damit ihr mal so eine ungefähre Idee kommt, wie das Ganze klingt und wie das Ganze wirkt. Weil ich finde schon, allein auf der akustischen Ebene bekommt man eigentlich ein ganz gutes Bild davon, auch wenn das jetzt hier nur ein Audio-Podcast ist. Super cool. Also ich, ne? On to the End, hört mal rein. super düster, es ist total kalt, man stapft da durch Schneelandschaften. Ich weiß auch ehrlich gesagt gar nicht so genau, worum es in der Story geht. Das haben mir die beiden Entwickler nicht verraten, aber die habe ich dann zu einem Interview reingeholt, beziehungsweise die haben mir das Spiel präsentiert und ich habe gefragt, ob sie mir ein paar Antworten zu Fragen geben können, die mir da spontan gekommen sind. Und das Interessante ist, das ist ein Entwicklerpaar. Also, die sind verheiratet und die haben sich gedacht, wir machen jetzt als gemeinsames Projekt tatsächlich ein Spiel zusammen. Und irgendwie ist auch ganz witzig, dass es in diesem Spiel eigentlich auch um eine Familie geht. Und man am Anfang in der Trainingssession, also wo man die Steuerung lernt und so, dann auch mal die ganze Familie irgendwie komplett sieht. Das fand ich irgendwie sehr süß und sehr, sehr cool und hatte dann auch eine persönliche Note. Aber hört mal selbst in das Interview rein. Hier sind die beiden Entwickler.
Actually, the thought was a taser. So thank you guys. Thank you very much for the gameplay presentation. I'm honestly impressed by the. It's an early build, I think. But already you taught me how minimalistic, how the approach to this game is was, and so on. So before we start, can you briefly introduce yourself and what you're doing for the game?
Sure, yeah.
Who wants to?
You go ahead.
I'll go first. Okay, so my name's Steven. I'm the husband part of the husband and wife team. Sarah and I honestly wear a ton of like similar hats. So, like, Sarah does mostly the environments, but I'll do a lot of the animations and like I'll work on like rocks and stuff. So, it's like we don't really have like strictly delineated things. Right now, I do all the programming though. So, that's the only thing Sarah doesn't do, yeah. So, I guess I'm programmer and designer and kind of artist, yeah.
I'm Sarah, and I'm more artist, kind of overseer of atmosphere and environment, the feel.
Story. So, I said right, you're doing this alone.
It's just you.
It's the music and the art and the gameplay.
Music is, we do have a guy for music.
Okay.
All the art, I know, not to undersell the music, but at all. But all the art and the gameplay and the design and the programming is us. And then we do have a music guy, Johnny Niddle, who we think is fantastic. He does all the music. So
super cool.
Yeah, thank you.
So tell me a bit about the game. I saw it, but you have to explain it to our listeners, of course. And what's the basic idea behind this and the basic world behind this?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we tell people that it's, if they played Inside and they've seen the movie The Revenant, it's kind of like Inside meets The Revenant in terms of pacing and tone and things like that. In terms of gameplay, it's visually inspired by like Out of This World, Another World. So it's got a flat, kind of minimal illustrative style. We tried to strike a balance between just enough detail and still allowing the viewer or the player to like superimpose their own ideas on the world. Gameplay, we tried to be very reductive in terms of challenging the norms that are out there today. Like, we don't have any health bar or stamina, like, kind of HUD or anything. We try to put all the focus on the character and the world, and really, as much as we can, allow the player to immerse themselves and reward the player for kind of paying attention to the world and their opponents and stuff, so... Yeah.
This is cool. So there's a lot of environment storytelling, if I understand right. Yes. This is the impression of the few minutes I've seen. So a lot of stuff is happening in the background. So can you tell me a bit more about this?
Right. In terms of how we really want the players to pay attention to what's happening in the foreground, the actors they see or the opponents they see. Each area is going to have a story that that really will unfold differently from...
Yeah.
For each person, really.
Yeah, like one thing I couldn't show you, unfortunately, Michael, because I screwed up and maybe I'm a bit too nervous, but is that when the guy was fighting that big guy, like if I get him to surrender, then I can actually decide to spare his life or take his life.
Yeah.
If I spare his life, then he moves on. And then later on, I can like he has like a little cave. I can rest at that cave. He gives me a trinket that I can take. If I kill him, then the woad that I was interacting with, they kind of have him strung up sacrificially. I eventually learn who's really killing their kin. And so there's like different, the idea is like, if you play and your friend play, you'll have slightly different stories to tell each other based on some of the decisions you make.
Yeah. So since we only got one question left, I'm curious. So how is it to work as a couple?
When we first started, it really was an experiment. We didn't go into this saying, this is for sure going to work. You know, we kind of just kind of slowly eased our way in, experimented with stuff. Just got used to Unity, did a lot of art. We were traveling at the same time. But overall, like after now, it's been 2 years, almost 3 years.
Yeah.
It works.
It's been wonderful.
Yeah, when we're not working, we need to get outside, spend a lot of time, friends in nature. Not be in front of a computer in the same room together. Yeah. But overall, it's been great. Like
one thing I will say that is hard is if you've ever gotten feedback from a significant other, like that, like, crushes you quicker than anything else you could imagine, right? Both ways, right? But once you get over that and you realize that you have to kind of have, like, you have to understand that when Sarah gives me, like, tells me an animation looked ridiculous or something, she's just trying to make the game better. And same if I'm talking about her environment. And once you can get over that, Barry, once you get over that, then you can have a lot of fun with it. So,
But it also maybe it makes some phases, some stuff easier, like you get the same idea because you know each other for so long.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah,
very much simpatico, very quickly on different ideas and kind of the mood and tone and stuff we want to have.
The couple at the beginning of the game, like the training session, this reminded me a bit of you guys. So is this intended? Or?
Well, I mean, the voices of Sarah did the voice of the mother, and I did the voice of the father. And so we don't have a daughter yet, but who knows in the future? It's not it's entirely, but I think it's always easier to kind of project yourself into a game than make up something totally different. So yeah, we try to do a bit of that.
Super cool, guys. Thank you very much for your time.
Really thank you.
Thank you. Awesome. Thanks a lot, Michael.
Cheers. On to the End. Also definitiv ein Titel, den man sich vormerken sollte. Nicht nur wegen den beiden Entwicklern, die übrigens super sympathisch waren. Und auch, weil das so ein kleines Projekt ist, was auf jeden Fall Unterstützung gut gebrauchen könnte, sondern auch, weil das Spiel echt cool war. Also es hat mir super gut gefallen. Hab das sehr gerne angespielt und ich bin super gespannt auf das fertige Spiel. Wie gesagt, ist noch so ein bisschen, der Termin ist noch nicht so ganz genau gesetzt, aber es soll auf jeden Fall auch zum Beispiel für die Konsolen kommen. Also es gibt einen Trailer, der auch auf dem PlayStation-Kanal läuft. Deswegen, das ist auf jeden Fall eine sichere Sache. Und wenn ihr auf atmosphärische Spiele abfahrt, die so in diese Limbo-Richtung und so gehen, dann solltet ihr euch das auf jeden Fall vormerken. Also mir hat es auf jeden Fall extrem gut gefallen. Und natürlich alle Fans, die The Revenant mögen. Da gibt es ja sicherlich einige, die sehr auf diesen Film abgefahren sind. So, was habe ich hier sonst auf der Schauen? Ah, Two Point Hospital. Okay, also Two Point Hospital, das Interview hat jetzt der Manu gemacht. Das ist ein Nachfolger von ein Quasi-Nachfolger von Theme Hospital. Hospital war eine ganz witzige Simulation, Aufbausimulation, wo, wie der Name schon sagt, ihr ein Hospital aufbaut, ein Krankenhaus. Und dieses Krankenhaus, da geht's jetzt nicht um richtige Krankheiten, also das ist jetzt nicht der Ernst des Lebens, der einem da so entgegensteht und der einem dann völlig die Laune verdirbt, sondern es sind eher so lustige Krankheiten. Also es ist dann so, dass man sich da irgendwelche Fantasiesachen ausgedacht hat und die hat man dann irgendwie lustig animiert, also alles, was nichts mit der Realität zu tun hat. Realistisch ist aber schon, dass das ganze Krankenhaus gemanagt werden muss und dass das Ganze irgendwie auch ein Wirtschaftssystem hat und so weiter. Und ist immer noch heute ziemlich beliebt, das Theme Hospital, und viele haben sich gefragt, wann gibt's denn eigentlich mal eine Fortsetzung? Und naja, irgendwie ist der Lizenz-Schissel dann so durch das Lizenz-Universum gedrupst. Was weiß ich, wer jetzt heute die Lizenz zu Theme Hospital hat. Das weiß auch niemand wahrscheinlich. Wahrscheinlich, es war, glaube ich, ein Bullfrog-Spiel. Und wer weiß, vielleicht hat Molyneux die auch gegessen. Ich habe keine Ahnung. Jedenfalls ist dieses Two Point Hospital ein geistiger Nachfolger. Da sind auch Entwickler dran, die früher an dem Theme Hospital gearbeitet haben. Das erscheint über Sega und das ist jetzt auch jüngst erschienen. Und da wird es auf jeden Fall noch einen eigenen Podcast zu geben, weil das Spiel wirklich extrem cool ist. Ich habe da auch schon ein paar Sachen von gesehen und Manu ist ziemlich begeistert davon. Aber wir haben auf der Messe auch den, Leute aus dem Entwicklerteam getroffen und dieses Interview wollen wir euch natürlich nicht vorenthalten. Also hier kommt Two Point Hospital. Viel Spaß.
Hello, my name is Christopher Knott and I'm the lead animator at Two Point Studios.
My name is Mark Smart and I'm the art director at Two Point Studios.
Yeah, I just played Two Point Hospital and of course you guys worked also on Theme Hospital. So maybe you can talk about a little bit, how did you come up with, finally we can do a new hospital theme game?
Okay, so yeah, we have in our studio two of the originators of Theme Hospital, and Yeah, we've kind of worked together for a number of years. Chris, I've worked with, you know, for about 20 years, different studios. And we all found ourselves wanting to create a new studio.
Yeah.
So the 2 Point was kind of born. And we thought, well, what would be a good, you know, a good thing to introduce 2 Point Studios to the world? And we had a love of these type of management theme games. You know, we'd worked on many, and we just thought the time was right to have another sort of theme game, and this kind of seemed like the right thing to do at the time.
I'm totally with you. I was missing these games for a long time, and I think you guys heard that a lot of times during Gamescom. So why do you think this is the right time to introduce these theme games back into the,
they are becoming,
revive the genre?
Well, they're becoming more popular.
Yeah.
I think gaming generally is quite cyclical. So you get, things become popular, then they become popular. 2 years ago, every game was a zombie game.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
And now, not so much. And I think it's, I think people kind of, are gamers, miss the feeling when you're playing these games of creating and building and looking after and nurturing instead of destroying and shooting and blowing up all the time. I think that's why things like Minecraft are so, because that's what it's about. It's growing and looking after, and that's what this is about.
Yeah, it's a much
looking
more
after people.
It's a much more creative thing than a, you know, a destructive thing. And you know, in making this game as well, we've kind of gone for almost like a retro presentation of it, whereas you've got the whole game, you know, this is an experience that we've crafted, you know, and we're saying, look, you know, you don't have to buy anything more, you can play our game, we've put it complete, we want you to enjoy it, you know, as much as we've enjoyed making it.
Do you think, like, because we live in like very sinister times now, that it feels very good, like, to forget about politics and stuff like that?
Yeah. It definitely does feel like the world is a slightly scarier place at the moment. And I do think gaming does reflect that. I think people have always taken comfort in gaming.
Yeah.
It's an escapism, it's relaxation, and there is something nice about when you're feeling a little bit, it's a bit horrible out there.
Yeah.
I think I'll just go and do something nice. Yeah. It's a nice feeling.
And, you know, with the sort of humour aspect of it as well, you know, we want people to sort of play the game, and as they go progress through the levels, we want them to look forward to being introduced to the next sort of, you know, crazy, wacky illness. So, yeah.
You got a lot of crazy, wackiness, illness machines, and I especially like the cure machines for these illnesses. Don't you have anything for, like, big orange-headed idiots, stuff like that in the game?
No, unfortunately we don't. I don't know what you mean.
But can you talk a little bit about the crazy machines? I think it's a very, or I guess it's a very funny experience, like coming up with these machines and the illnesses.
We sort of paired them, you know, because you get, you know, a sort of crazy illness and, you know, and the machine is equally crazy to cure them. And we came up with, sometimes it started off as a visual thing, you know, wouldn't it be great if the patient looked like this, and then we'd work backwards and try and get a cure machine that how would you cure that?
Yeah.
Sometimes it was, we'd come up with the illness and it would just literally be a name.
Uh-huh.
And we go, so how could we interpret that hum, you know, a terrible pun? How could we interpret that terrible pun into an illness and then cure it?
So it's a back and forth between all departments. Like sometimes the graphic department has an idea and sometimes the writers. Yeah.
And with the machines as well, we kind of wanted them to feel like that they could work. You know, that they're almost functional. Yeah. The one that I always come back to is the pandemic machine. So if you've got a pandemic, it's basically lots of people with saucepans stuck on their heads.
Yeah. The pun.
Yeah, so it's a pun. It started off as a pun. And we thought, well, how's the best way to remove that? And it's basically a giant magnet on an arm. And you lock their feet into sort of stirrups. And so they can't move. And the arm sort of pulls it off quite. It's quite brutal, really. But we kind of wanted it to feel like all these machines sort of could work.
Yeah. So a lot of these
could also kill you.
Yeah.
It could also go horribly wrong.
I think the translation team had a lot of fun, or hated you for some of the puns.
Yeah, well,
not everything works in German
That's it. You know, we had to bear in mind that sometimes a phrase or wouldn't always work, so you know there had to be a certain amount of creativity as well in translating that.
Yeah, but even if you don't get the word pan, it's still pun. Word pan. Yeah. It's not. It's at least it's fun to look at.
Yes.
Like if you get people with like a light bulb head, stuff like that. Yeah.
I think that's one of the things is visually, we wanted it to be appealing.
Yeah.
Because we don't have any real illnesses.
So
it gave us that creativity.
You mentioned the light bulb head. The light bulb head started off as a visual thing, because you know, sort of international symbol for an idea is a light bulb above your head. And it was like, actually, why don't we just make the light bulb the head? That's how that one came about. So yeah, it's been great. Sort of, we've had just so much creative freedom, and it just, you know, it's not light work because you're just being creative all day.
But behind all this wackiness, it's still like a true to the base simulation game, right?
Yes.
It's like a real, like the old theme games.
Yes, you can one star all the hospitals, and it's very accessible, easy to play, it's fun. It will still challenge you, but you'll have kind of fun. But then if you want to do the 2-star and 3-star challenges, that's not easy. And you can kind of go right down to the granular level. You can tweak stats, you can change prices, and you have to go to a certain point to look after your staff, the patients. Your staff may need training. They might be fantastic in one aspect, very lacking in another. And you can either choose to train them, ignore it, hope it goes away, or just deal with it. You know, you might have a surgeon who is superb, that surge absolutely amazing, but never washes his hands.
Ooh.
Yeah. But then do you hire him?
Yeah.
Or do you hire someone who's not quite as good, but is clean?
Yeah.
And it's that, you think, oh no, that'll be fine.
Yeah.
And you hire them and it's, oh, it's not fine.
But that's your approach to like even address people that haven't played the old games, right?
Yeah.
That's my understanding, that you can play it, but for the old buffs that played all the old games, they can still find the challenge.
There's still the challenge there. You know, we wanted to balance it so that people could play it how they wanted to play.
Yeah.
We didn't want to make it sort of completely stat driven like from the beginning.
Mm.
You know, because we appreciate that some people don't want to play it that way. But for the gamers that do want to play it that way, you know, it's incredibly deep. You know, there's so much you can drill down into and find.
If you start the game, it feels like coming home a little bit if you played the original games and games in that genre.
Yeah.
But I remember playing the new XCOM. It always it also felt like, oh, that's coming like home. It feels like the old games. But if you start the old games, you realize how much changed in regards of usability.
Yeah. Well,
I still remember the original XCOM.
Isn't that the case though? You know, it's like, was that funny comment? Nostalgia is not what it used to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because in your mind, everything's lovely and rosy and everything. But but that's kind of what we wanted to do. We wanted to give people that sort of feeling of, you know, coming home, and this is what games were about, you know.
It's that feeling of familiarity.
Yeah.
When you, as you said, when you start the game, you instantly go, oh yeah, I know what's going on here. I know where I am.
But is it hard to get that nostalgia feeling but still be more accessible and more usability focused than the old games? Like what is like the key problem you had when you looked at the old games, and what changed in the new generation now?
That's a good question.
Because it's not like it's not a remake, right?
It's a fidelity. The fact that the fidelity has enabled us to add a huge amount more depth to Two Point Hospital. So for example, every object that you put down has an impact.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Everything can be interacted with. So if you put down a phone on the wall, patients will go, ooh, and they'll go over and kind of ring somebody, and it will affect their stats.
Yeah.
It will make them happier or sadder. And I think it's just that density that we're able to add to the game, everything has an impact that you're seeing.
And it's all connected.
You're not just putting something there for the sake of it. Yeah. You go, I'll stick a plant there.
Some will have an impact. Yeah, some of the smaller objects, you know, they don't have a dramatic effect on things, but it's just layering on that detail. And that's what, you know, the processing power and you know, updates and machines have allowed us to do, you know, that. And so, but you can still wrap it in that sort of familiar core that, you know, people are used to.
And I bet there has been a lot of things that were faked in the old games, right? They were just like for decoration. They didn't really change anything.
You had to be even more sort of creative. Yeah. Whereas nowadays, you can do it.
And now you can simulate the whole patient and every patient in the hospital. Yeah. You don't have just pixels walking around, right? You can really simulate it.
Unless you have a very specific illness.
Okay.
Yeah, there is one.
Then you might look like that.
What is your goal for the company as a whole? Like, what is your aim? What do you want to make games like in this genre? Do you want to focus on that?
Or? I think we'd very much like to make games with within this little people, crafting, looking after people. The company got set up because we really wanted to return to sort of pure gaming, rather than just sort of treadmill of, the next thing, chasing the next
craze.
Yeah, next craze, the next generation machine. Mm-hmm. We wanted to get back to making games. So, if we can continue doing that, we'd be very happy.
Well, everyone in the studio is veterans of this this type of game. So we've got people who love these games. And remember how they used to be and kind of want to make games like that again. We've got loads of young guys as well. And they're seeing them play the game. Some of them have played the hospital, but some of them never had.
Yeah.
And it's interesting watching them play because they start off just enjoying it. And then you come back a couple of days later and then they're like, no, hang on. And they're changing prices. And it's amazing how quickly that they get into it and start enjoying it.
It could be possible that you guys got employees that haven't been even born during the first generation of games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that is the case.
I feel old now.
That is the case.
Is there a cure for getting old in the game?
No.
There's only one cure for getting old.
That's
dying, isn't it?
maybe playing games is a cure.
What's the alternative? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the alternative, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone who plays games ages that much.
But it definitely helps with staying young. Yeah. Playing games,
yeah.
Look at those guys.
Yeah, very youthful looking.
Yes. Yes. I'm scrunching my face back.
All right. Great, guys. Thank you. Have a good Gamescom.
Thank you.
Good luck with the game. It's coming out in a couple of days now, and I'm very eager to getting home and starting up my PC.
Thank you very much, mate.
And you should release an Amiga version, I think.
That would be going really retro.
Have a nice Gamescom. Thank you.
Das war Two Point Hospital. Das ist, wie gesagt, schon erschienen. Das ist für den PC rausgekommen. Und da wird es auf jeden Fall noch eine eigene Folge von geben. Das wird der Manu machen, weil er sehr viel stärker in dem Thema drin ist mit Aufbaustrategie und so weiter und so fort. Aber ich muss sagen, ich fand es auch super lustig, was ich bisher gesehen habe. Und nur mal so als Tipp, Game 2 hat zu diesem Spiel mega geilen Beitrag gemacht. Noch direkt vor der Gamescom. Ich habe mich beömmelt vor Lachen. Super geil. Viele Grüße an der Stelle. Bitte macht weiter so. Eure Sketches sind absolut super. So, was gibt's denn jetzt nächstes? Colorful Darkness habe ich noch gesehen. Colorful Darkness ist ein Spiel, das ich auf der DevCom in der Indie-Area entdeckt habe. Und das schlägt so in so eine Cyberpunk-Richtung. Und wir alle wissen, Cyberpunk ist jetzt so in letzter Zeit der heiße Scheiß. Also nicht nur wegen dem Spiel von CD Projekt, sondern auch im Kino. Also Blade Runner gab es jetzt kürzlich eine Fortsetzung. Es gab eine Realverfilmung von Ghost in the Shell. Es gibt diverse Serien, wo das drin vorkommt. Transhumanismus war sowieso schon in einigen Spielen immer Thema. Also Deus Ex zum Beispiel. Und kommt immer wieder vor. Es gibt auch unzählige Anime-Spieler oder JRPGs, die in diese Richtung gehen, die das auch irgendwie behandeln und immer in verschiedenen Ausrichtungen. Da kommt jetzt auch von Nintendo zum Beispiel das Spiel, das Demon Ex Machina, was auch so ein bisschen dieses Thema streift. Also es gibt auf jeden Fall viel Material dazu. Und nicht zu vergessen, State of Mind. Also State of Mind hatten wir ja vor der Gamescom noch mal kurz besprochen. Da wird es noch mal einen Nachschlaggas zu geben, weil es da inhaltlich auf jeden Fall einige Sachen zu diskutieren gibt. Aber das schlägt auf jeden Fall in so eine Kerbe und ist ja eigentlich so ein Adventure. Aber da haben wir uns ja im Cast gefragt, na ja, schade, dass es so eins von diesen Telltale-artigen Adventures ist, weil es wäre für der Delic und auch generell für dieses Spiel wahrscheinlich besser gewesen, wenn es so ein bisschen klassischer, so mit Rätseln und, naja, Dingen, die den Kopf beanspruchen wären. Das wäre irgendwie cooler für das Spiel gewesen. Aber Colorful Darkness got you covered. Colorful Darkness ist genau das. Also es hat so ein Cyberpunk-Setting, es hat auch so eine ähnlich reduzierte Optik wie State of Mind, also alles sehr, sehr einfache Objekte und Figuren. Die Figuren sind sogar in einem Low-Poly-Stil gehalten, also daran hat es mich dann auf jeden Fall sofort erinnert. Und der Unterschied ist aber, dass es wirklich ein klassisches 2D-Adventure ist. Also man läuft von links nach rechts, man muss Sachen anklicken, da auch natürlich die Dialoge führen, die man so in Adventures macht und auch Sachen kombinieren und so weiter. Und das Geilste ist, es gibt zwischendurch ein Hackerspiel. Und das ist mal richtig cool. Also man kann zum Beispiel in so Drohnen sich reinhacken. Das war so in der Demo zum Beispiel eine Aufgabe. Und da muss man vorher in Dokumenten herausfinden, in welches Verzeichnis und in welches Unterverzeichnis man rein muss. Und dann quasi herausfinden, welche Dateien zu löschen sind. Also zum Beispiel gibt es von der Drohne, die bewegen sich so selbst durch die Gegend. Und es ist so eine Art Überwachungsdrohne. Und um die Bewegung, also generell, dass die Beweglichkeit von den Dingen auszuschalten, muss man halt eine bestimmte Datei in dieser Dateistruktur löschen. Und das Ganze macht man in der Kommandozeile. Also man geht wirklich rein in so eine DOS-artige Kommandozeile oder das, was man halt so von Betriebssystemen kennt, wenn man irgendwie die Eingabeaufforderung oder so aufmacht und muss sich dann wirklich da durchtippen. Und das ist eine Art, Rätsel in diesem Spiel zu lösen, was total cool ist. Und man hat mir gesagt, dass es in der Demo jetzt nur so eine einfache Version ist und so. Und das soll sich dann so im Laufe der Zeit steigern, je nachdem, wie weit man dann ins Spiel kommt. Also es fängt dann am Anfang sehr leicht an, so mit eine Datei löschen oder so weiter. Und das geht dann später so in Richtung, dass man dann auch mal so irgendwie so Codes auslesen muss oder dass man irgendwie ganz konkret in Dateien reinschauen muss und da irgendwelche Sachen raus entziffern. Richtig geil. Also da freue ich mich total drauf, vor allem, weil es mal eigentlich wieder ein Spiel ist, wo der Grips gefordert ist und das passt auch super in dieses Cyberpunk-Setting rein, dass man halt hackt. Macht ja irgendwie auch Sinn. Und ansonsten hat das ganze Ding einen sehr guten Eindruck gemacht. Also das Ganze ist schon deutlich minimalistischer als State of Mind. State of Mind hatte ja eine wirklich extrem gute Präsentation. Das hier ist schon kleiner und halt auch ohne Ton, ohne Vertonung und so weiter. Gab es jetzt nur Musik in der Demo zu hören und so. Und war aber trotzdem sehr interessant. Ja, und da habe ich doch gedacht, ja, cooles Ding. Sind wir doch direkt dabei. Das ist ein Spiel, das ist jetzt in meinem Auge. Und das musste auch den Inside Moin-Hörern vorstellen. Da habe ich mir doch gleich einen Entwickler geschnappt, der stand daneben. Und dem habe ich dann ein paar Fragen gestellt. Also hört ihr hier das Interview zu Colorful Darkness. Das ist übrigens immer noch ein sehr schöner Titel. Colorful Darkness. Oh, das geht. Das geht von der Zunge wie Butter.
I'm Michael, thank you very much for your time for the interview, and please introduce yourself and what you're doing for the game.
Yeah. Hi, I'm David. I'm one of the co-founders of the studio, Piñata Punch, and Colorful Darkness is our most promising project. It's a hacking sim where I do programming and writing. I write the story also.
Hi, my name is Sandrine. I am also one of the co-founders, and I'm the art director of the game, and I also create the visuals, pretty much all the visuals of the game. Yeah.
Cool. So this is also my first question. This really caught my eye. I walked around and was looking at the game, and the art is very striking. It's a mixture of low poly look and this kind of simplistic style. What was the basic idea behind this?
Well, we did want it to do something a bit different from what exists, and we wanted to do something also very graphic and simple, and trying to, you know, avoid adding too many things that are maybe unnecessary, and way back something more simple. Actually, it seems like people really like it. But our game was also very colorful. It's in a cyberpunk world, so we try to mix a bit of simplicity with still a lot of colors, and it's also something that I personally like. So that's also, you know, I was pretty much free to do the art style that I thought was.
So this was a natural choice.
So it was not so natural. So something that I just came also. From me, because I like this kind of art style, I guess, and the team was really fine with it. So that's pretty much it.
So it's basically a science fiction setting. Can you tell me a bit more about the world of the game?
About what?
The world and the setting of the game.
Yes. Sure. It's the inspiration came from actually William Gibson. I think it was a Virtual Light. There's this novel where a character with a special device can see an alternate reality, what we would call today augmented reality, I suppose. And the idea here was that, okay, this character can see this layer on top of the world that is digital, but this character happens to be also a hacker. So it's not just a user, but it's someone who will mess with that stuff. And the initial prototype was made by two programmers, so I was one of them. And the original design was, okay, we are programmers, we love hacking games about hacking, but we're pretty much disappointed often about the difficulty. We are programmers, and for us, hacking games are too easy. So we wanted to make a game where it would be actually challenging for us. And it's cyberpunk because we were in love with this genre. And it just made complete sense to have these augmented reality devices in a world where there are big corporations that you want to hack, you know.
So this is one aspect I find really cool about the game. I just playtested it. And this hacking game is actually, in comparison to other adventures, quite complex because you have all the command line and so on. It reminded me a lot of DOS, for example, the old DOS box and stuff like that. And I think the demo was, from my perspective, I used DOS earlier back in the days. Well, it was a bit too easy for me. Will it get more complicated with hacking course, hexadex course, or something like that? Can you tell me a bit more? What can you tease me a bit about this?
So yeah, definitely. The challenge for us is from the if you want, like, from the business point of view, we want as many players to be able to enjoy it as possible. So we need to have like this low entry barrier for people to pick up the game. But at the same time, we want to offer, as I said in the beginning, a challenge. And what we will do for that is increasing difficulty as you progress in the challenges that are offered to you. So yes, there will be that. But when you start the game, the challenges will be easy in the beginning, so people can actually learn. And our hope is that people who would think this is not a game for them because they can't use a terminal, they're not computer savvy, or could actually learn step by step and get into more difficult puzzles. You know,
so there's a learning curve to the hacking game.
And I'm going to give you a bit of a spoiler for your podcast here, because it's exclusive news, but we've blended actually the tutorial into a flashback into the main character's childhood. So this allows us to justify the fact that the player is learning all the tricks, because you play as the character being a child. So you're at the same level of knowledge as the character. Because, you know, if you start a game where you're a hacker, but as the player, you can't hack, it's a bit, it's actually, I think, why all those hacking games in the end up having a button where it's like press A to hack, you know, because the character knows more than the player.
It makes perfect sense. So a character is a good point. So what I find cool about the characters is that there's this simplistic style, but at the same time, they all got very characteristic. They look very distinct, like characters, like they got, you can see from the hair, for example, and stuff like the, in English?
The jaw.
Yeah, the
jaws.
Yeah, jaw bones and stuff like that. And this is really cool. Is it difficult to achieve this in a simple style?
I think it is. It is not necessarily more complicated because it's simple to differentiate the characters. Because you can always add, you know, I guess if they had more details, it would be actually the same. You know, you have the basic tags or things that are going to differentiate themselves from the other characters. So even if it's simple or it's complicated, the basic elements are still going to be there, I think. So so it's not necessarily more difficult. Actually, without having too many details, we can maybe achieve that a bit better. And but the characters also, as you saw, we really wanted to do something simple. So even the facial expressions or facial features, we decided not to have them. And but it's working well. As you said, the characters are really important, so we try to give them a lot of personality, but also with the dialogues, and the dialogues are really important, what they say, what they think. You can, as you play, really get into their personality and, see in the backgrounds what they think about the stuff that they see.
Yeah.
So that's important. And
if I may add something on top of what you said, getting to know their personality will be very important in the game because we have a social engineering component.
Oh, okay.
So there will be hacking through technical commands and hacking through dialogue and manipulation.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, getting to know people will matter.
It's going to be important. Yeah. And also in the visual part, the characters are really simple, but we really wanted to make the animations very... advanced in a sense. And so you can also, you know, get to know the characters and differentiate them with the animation a lot. Mm-hmm.
So how the way they move, the body language.
Yeah, the body language and And so we also want to add, you know, as many animations as we can to make them more humans and
So. One question that comes up is, what do you think about all the current discussion about transhumanism and advancing humans and all the science fiction stuff? So technology is advancing really fast. So people got smartphones today, maybe tomorrow they all got Google Glass and something like that. Mm. Maybe in 10 years people implant stuff into the eye or something like that. Mm. So I got the impression your game also deals with these kind of topics with civilians, for example, and stuff like that, because of hacking of the drone and so on. So is the game also tackling those topics in a way that there's not also this the main plot, the criminal story, the drama, but also the second layer of or scientific stuff like that can be discussed?
Yes, we will have a lot of that, but I think David loves to actually search, you know, get updated with updated with the news and what's new in the technology. So he does a lot of research and on that. So
I'm completely passionate about these topics. And the game will, as you said, it will show that, in the sense that we even get to a point where the game itself will not necessarily make one take a specific position, but instead try to show you different opinions about a single question.
Okay.
Through characters opposing their opinions and having debates.
Yeah, yeah.
Through, for example, an email conversation or
So there are different point of views. The characters each got their own opinion about stuff like that. So the whole game is not going into one direction. It's rather than you look at a topic and the different characters got different opinions, and the player has to make his own opinion.
Yeah, and it's useful, of course, to have different opinions because you want the social engineering aspect,
yeah, yeah.
You know, to be interesting. But it's also interesting as you know, for the player to take away. From the game that there are questions about transhumanism, surveillance, corporate power, corporate mm-hmm. power. I don't know, such thing as private military forces.
Yeah,
There are many questions.
This is so last question would be there are of course movies like Blade Runner and stuff like that that deal with robotics and stuff like that. So this, I got the impression, it's just an impression that in the last years, this topic gets fresh again. So there was some kind in the 2000s, people were not talking too much about this. But I think in the last 5 years, there's a lot of this coming back. Why do you think is that? Is there some advancement in technology that reminded people, okay, there is this topic or something like that?
To me, it comes... You want to...
No, go ahead.
To me, it comes from the fact that... because I thought a lot about it, I have a ready answer here.
Yeah.
It doesn't come from the technology itself. It's because it's becoming less abstract for people who are not into this in the beginning.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean, think of recently Facebook or the Trump election.
Yeah.
All those concepts that were once vague, as you said, in the 2000s, deep learning, artificial intelligence, they were vague and far away from your reality, you know, and now they're becoming super understandable and immediate.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, hackers were once seen as nerds in a garage that are harmless.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
If they harm anyone, it's big banks, so who cares, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
But now it's becoming more of a private data issue, a political issue. So yeah, it's just getting more real and closer to us, I think.
I think 10 years ago, nobody would thought that we all got smartphones, little computers, basically maybe 15 years ago and so on. And it advanced really fast. So it's just a question of time, I think, before we get to robotic stuff and enhancements like that.
And a lot of the technology that we see in the movies or in games, a lot of them are already real now, so I think people get to know them more and more, so I think it opens to new questions and the technology is really getting really advanced, so makes people think a bit more.
Better now than later when it's too late.
Okay,
thank you very much for this interview.
You're welcome.
Thank you for taking the time to test the game. You did really good, actually.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Colorful Darkness. Ich bin immer noch begeistert von diesem Namen. Das ist eigentlich so einfach. Es ist einfach nur ein Kontrast, der in diesem Namen drinsteckt, aber toll. Ansonsten, das Spiel hat mir persönlich gut gefallen. Interview fand ich auch ganz interessant, was dann am Ende bei rumkommt. Ich wünsche dem Team noch auf jeden Fall viel Glück und ich werde das auf jeden Fall im Auge behalten, weil, ne, Cyberpunk, Transhumanismus, Hacking, das sind so Themen, die gehen eigentlich immer. So, und das war's dann schon mit dem ersten Teil unserer Gamescom-Interviews. Also, ich werde morgen nochmal so eine Folge machen. Da haben wir noch ein paar andere sehr interessante Indie-Interviews am Start. Unter anderem halt auch zum Beispiel Walking Dead oder Blasphemous, wenn ich das jetzt richtig ausspreche. Also durchaus ein paar coole Sachen. Und da wünsche ich euch heute noch einen schönen Tag und ich hoffe, wir hören uns morgen. Bis dann. Ciao.